men who have already laid aside all passions and vices, who have learned what things are to be embraced, but their assurance is not yet tested. They have not yet put their good into practice. Yet from now on, they cannot slip back into the faults which they have escaped. They have already arrived at a point from which there is no slipping back, but they are not yet aware of the fact. As I remember writing in another letter, they are ignorant of their knowledge. It has now been vouchsafed to them to enjoy their good, but not yet to be sure of it. Some define this class, of which I have been speaking, a class of men who are making progress, as having escaped the diseases of the mind, but not yet the passions, and as still standing upon slippery ground, because no one is beyond the dangers of evil, except him who has cleared himself of it wholly. But no one has so cleared himself, except the man who has adopted wisdom in its stead. I have often before explained the difference between the diseases of the mind and its passions, and I shall remind you once more. The diseases are hardened and chronic vices, such as greed and ambition. They have enfolded the mind in too close a grip, and have begun to be permanent evils thereof. To give a brief definition, by disease we mean a persistent perversion of the judgment, so that things which are mildly desirable are thought to be highly desirable. Or, if you prefer, we may define it thus: to be too zealous in striving for things which are only mildly desirable or not desirable at all, or to value highly things which ought to be valued but slightly, or valued not at all. Passions are objectionable impulses of the spirit, sudden and vehement. They have come so often, and so little attention has been paid to them, that they have caused a state of disease. Just as a catarrh, when there has been but a single attack, and the catarrh has not yet become habitual, produces a cough, but causes consumption when it has become regular and chronic. Therefore, we may say that those who have made most progress are beyond the reach of the diseases, but they still feel the passions, even when very near perfection. The second class is composed of those who have laid aside both the greatest ills of the mind and its passions, but yet are not in assured possession of immunity, for they can still slip back into their former state. The third class are beyond the reach of many of the vices, and particularly of the great vices, but not beyond the reach of all. They have escaped avarice, for example, but still feel anger. They no longer are troubled by lust, but are still troubled by ambition. They no longer have desire, but they still have fear. And just because they fear, although they are strong enough to withstand certain things, there are certain things to which they yield. They scorn death, but are in terror of pain. Let us reflect a moment on this topic. It will be well with us if we are admitted to this class. The second stage is gained by great good fortune with regard to our natural gifts, and by great and unceasing application to study. But not even the third type is to be despised. Think of the host of evils which you see about you. Behold, how there is no crime that is not exemplified, how far wickedness advances every day, and how prevalent are sins in home and commonwealth. You will see, therefore, that we are making a considerable gain, if we are not numbered among the basest. But as for me, you say, I hope that it is in me to rise to a higher rank than that. I should pray, rather than promise, that we may attain this. We have been forestalled. We hasten towards virtue while being hampered by vices. I am ashamed to say it, but we worship that which is honorable only in so far as we have time to spare. But what a rich reward awaits us if only we break off the affairs which forestall us and the evils that cling to us with utter tenacity. Then neither desire nor fear shall rout us. Undisturbed by fears, unspoiled by pleasures, we shall be afraid neither of death nor of the gods. We shall know that death is no evil, and that the gods are not powers of evil. That which harms has no greater power than that which receives harm, and things which are utterly good have no power at all to harm. There await us, if ever we escape from these low dregs to that sublime and lofty height, peace of mind and, when all error has been driven out, perfect liberty. You ask what this freedom is? It means not fearing either men or gods. It means not craving wickedness or excess. It means possessing supreme power over oneself. And it is a priceless good to be master of oneself. Farewell. Letter 76, On Learning Wisdom in Old Age. You have been threatening me with your enmity if I do not keep you informed about all my daily actions. But see now, upon what frank terms you and I live, for I shall confide even the following fact to your ears. I have been hearing the lectures of a philosopher. 4 days have already passed since I have been attending his school and listening to the harangue, which begins at 2 o'clock. A fine time of life for that, you say. Yes, fine indeed. Now, what is more foolish than refusing to learn simply because one has not been learning for a long time?